And I said, now all dads have a few things in common. Like a 5-day vacation only requires one suitcase. We never ask anyone to open a jar for us. We don't have to shave below the neck. And Christmas shopping for 25 relatives can be done on December 24th in 25 minutes. There are other things that we have in common, but there's something unique and distinct about a Christian dad. Now, I can go many places with all the virtues of a Christian dad if I wanted to. Like, I could say he's always wise. I could say he's always a strong paragon of protection. Right? I could say he's always full of faith. He's always patient. But if I went down that road, that would be a problem. Because it would make this message totally irrelevant. Because everyone listening would say, that ain't me. Because I know better. I know that we aren't always those things. I know because I am a Christian dad. But for those of us who have placed our faith in Christ, we are still Christian dads, whether we are performing at peak level or not. Regardless of the ups and the downs of our daily virtues, we are Christian dads. And that means that there is something special about us. It means God thinks that we're valiant warriors. Whether we feel like it or look like it or act like it, God sees us as valiant warriors, as radiant. He sees us as glorious. He sees us as victorious. It means that we are princes, according to the scripture. We are sons of the Most High, and that makes us royalty. That's who we are as Christian dads, and we are loved by him beyond imagination, the scripture tells us. Beyond imagination. If you think you've got the love of God figured out, you need to go back and figure some more.
Okay.
Because it is beyond imagination. That's who we are as Christians. But there's something still more that a Christian dad has that no other dad has. And that is our greatest asset. And we can find that in the text that I'm going to ask you to turn with me to. It's in Psalm 115, verses 9 through 11. Psalm 115, 9 through 11. This is just one of many places where this asset is identified. Psalm 115, 9 through 11. Psalm 115, 9 through 11. O house of Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. Who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. And if you want to make a note of a companion verse that, or companion passage that goes along with this, that we're also going to weave in to our treatment of this text, it's John 14, 16 through 17. And I'm not going to ask you to turn there. I'll just quote it. John 14, 16 through 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. us to just marinate in this morning. I just want to continue to hammer home one single point. And the main idea of what I want to communicate is a Christian dad's greatest asset, a Christian dad's greatest asset is the living God living inside of him. A Christian dad's greatest asset is the living God living inside of him. Now, if you're not impressed, I don't know how much more profound anything can be than that. I got no more bullets. That's it. That idea, the greatest asset that we have as Christian dads is the living God living inside of us. And I want to focus on this phenomenal blessing as it relates to our roles as dads. So if this sounds familiar to you, it's essentially the same message I gave to moms on Mother's Day. And I told you dads at that time that you're going to get the same message. And not to worry, because you probably have forgotten by then anyway. So, dads, it's that same message, but I put some man hair on it. And I focused it on our particular issues as men. And so I hope you're able to hear with fresh ears and a receptive heart. What makes a Christian dad different? What makes a Christian dad special? Hear me now. It's not a code of ethics. It's not our moral superiority to non-Christian dads. It's not how well or how virtuously we live our lives day by day. That's not the distinction. You see, because depending upon the area, you can find people who have never gone to church, never talked to God, never prayed, who will be more virtuous in a given area. In a given area, than some of us who are trying our hardest. But not to worry. That's not our special weapon. We don't have to out-moral anybody. We're not in competition for virtue. That's not the battleground. Our greatest asset is we have the living God living inside of us. And the difference that his presence within us makes as he lives his life in us. You see, it's not us becoming stronger. It's not us becoming something else. It's him having more and more reign in our hearts, in our lives, so that Christ is seen more than we are seeing. And so when people say, wow, how is that happening in your life? We can say without hesitation, without reluctance, and without any slight bit of dishonesty, it's the God in me. No, it's not my strength. It's not me. See, and when they want to heap it upon us, the praise upon us, we almost feel like Paul and Silas, we want to tear our garments and say, it's not us. God, and we know it's him. You see, the more that we understand his living presence and the more that becomes a reality to us, the less we have to make it happen. And the more we see him living his life. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live. Don't be so impressed with me. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, day by day, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Dads, our greatest asset is the one who lives inside of us, day by day. And if I don't say anything else this morning, I'm glad I got that out. What makes a Christian dad different, what makes a Christian dad special, is the help and the shield, as the text passage says. It's the help and the shield of the one who lives inside of us. It by his Spirit. Christ motivating us. Christ inspiring us, transforming us, counseling us, consoling us, guiding us, picking us up, refreshing us, reviving us, recharging us, supplying us, strengthening us. It's Christ. Christ, Christ in us. That is our greatest asset. Christ alone. Christ alone. It's good to have Brother Jim back with us this morning. Yeah. Brother Jim, it's good to see you. Amen, brother. It is good to have him back after his bicycle accident while performing his daredevil acts. He tried to get the brother to stop, but he sneaks out. He's preparing for the X Games. We're just not the same when Brother Jim's not here, are we? It's just something's not right about who we are. But I'll tell you, one thing I will always remember about Brother Jim, two iconic statements. I'll always remember him for saying, one, this life is supernatural. No matter where we are in Bible study or Sunday school, when we start talking about the process of becoming more like Christ and living day to day, Brother Jim, we can count on him to say, well, see, look, wait a minute, this is supernatural. And it's a good reminder so that we don't think it's about our flesh. So that we don't think it's just a matter of behavior modification. It's good to be reminded this is a supernatural process. You can't make this thing happen. So you just keep on reminding us, Brother Jim, that it's supernatural. And the other thing you will hear Brother Jim say all the time is all about Jesus.
That's right.
We'll be going on and on. I call him every Monday, and we're talking about the message, reviewing it, and talking about it in detail, and what parts of it really inspired him, and what parts that I thought were good and not so good, what have you, And Brother Jim, if he is inspired by it, he'll say, boy, that was good. It ain't about you, though.
There you go.
And he says it with great love and affection, and it's the truth. It's the truth. But it's not just the preaching. None of this, guys, is about us. And that's how God intended it to be. What did he say to the disciples? Apart from me, you can do nothing. So it was always intended, this whole thing was intended to be a relational experience with the living God. It was intended to be an interactive movement through life. Not an assignment that we have to kind of tote and pull and tug. This is a partnership with the living God as he lives his life in us, as he consoles and teaches us and helps us to get it when we don't get it. Helps us to want to when we don't want to. Helps us to get back up when we'd rather just stay down. This is who it is. I am standing here today because of the work of the Holy Spirit inside of me.
Amen.
Period. I'll be the first to say. And if I ever say anything else, take me to Brother Jim. Because it's all about Jesus. Amen. The difference for a Christian dad is Christ serving as a partner with us in fatherhood. We are co-fathering with Christ. Christ is a co-dad with us, if you will. And that means he understands what we're trying to do. Even when we don't know what we're doing. It means that he understands what we want to be, even when we don't know how we're going to get there. It means that he knows what are our fears, the miniature ones, the medium-sized ones, the large ones, and the extra-large ones. He knows what those fears are. And as dads, we have fears. We want to be the best fathers we can be. We want to give instruction to our kids. We want to guide them. We want to do the right thing. We want to be good men. And I have said that when our kids are infants and toddlers, their poop is contained in their diapers.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Our co-dad knows about the things that we feel. He knows about the things that we want, the burdens that we bear. All these things are shared by Christ who lives in us. He is our help and he is our shield. He knows what we're trying to accomplish. He knows what our insecurities are. A Christian dad is never alone in his parenting, in his fathering. Never alone. Remember, our relationship with him is personal and it's not a spiritual program or an exercise. Let me put it another way. He is the help and the shield. He is our help. He himself doesn't say he just provides the help and the shield. He himself is the help and he himself is the shield. So whatever stage of fatherhood we may be in, the best preparation that we can make is cultivating our personal relationship with the Lord. Learning to believe and to receive who he wants to be to us. That he is our help and he is our shield. And because he is our help and shield, tender does not mean weak. Tender does not mean weak. Think about David. He wrote poetry. Played a harp. And his brothers probably thought he was a wimp. Saul. Not a real man. Just a kid. Not just kid chronologically because you're younger, but look at you. You're soft. Because David was tender. He was a tender man with the Lord. He was affectionate. But he was a fierce warrior. He was tender to the Lord, and that tenderness led to passion and conviction and courage. And his brothers probably couldn't believe their eyes when he went out to face Goliath. What are you doing? But it wasn't hubris. Wasn't false bravado. He wasn't trying to impress them. It was spirit-fueled confidence in the living God that had been cultivated in those tender moments with him. And it turned him into a ferocious, take-no-prisoners warrior for God himself.
Amen.
So tender does not mean weak. The scripture lauds tender hearts. Cause of humility. King Josiah, the Lord was going to visit the nation of visit Judah with a great disaster. And he said of Josiah, because you had a tender heart towards the Lord, I'm going to turn away from this calamity, this disaster that I was going to bring on Judah. Because you were tender hearted. I wrote a thing on spirituality and masculinity in my journal. And I said, I don't feel that tender affection for my Creator and powerful masculinity are in conflict with one another. Instead, like David of the scriptures, I experience these two as quite compatible and even complementary. Because as my heart grows more deeply connected with him, the Lord personalizes and liberates my brand of masculinity.
Amen.
And it's less and less driven by ego and hubris, less and less manipulated by marketing about what TV says a man is or movies say a man is, less and less manipulated by marketing, less and less rooted in the need to conform or to impress. It becomes a confident expression of who God has made me as a man. And I believe that kind of God-inspired confidence, is the essence of true masculinity. There ain't no model of masculinity out there. on earth like you before. You see, the kind of masculinity that God has for each one of us is a personal masculinity that is derived from his development of who he created us to be and how he wants us to impact the world. And so many men are looking around at some other man and wanting to be him. I don't want to be no other man. I want to be the man that God has called me to be. And that's the man I want to discover. And the only one who knows who that man is, I don't even know who that man is. The only one who knows who that man is the one who created this man. And so that is why tenderness to him brings out masculinity in us. His presence within us means the energy of his inspiration is always available to us because he is our ever-present help, Psalm 46:1 says. He is our ever-present help. We can endlessly draw from him without draining him. He is an ever-present help. And so we can endlessly draw from him without draining him. In fact, we're invited in Psalm 105 to seek his face continually. I love that verse. I'm going to be back, Lord. As often as it comes after me, I'm coming after you.
Amen.
And so thank you for the open invitation to seek his face continually. Because it's not my strength. It's the Lord's strength. He lets us borrow it. We can't have it. So the Lord says, I'm going to let you borrow my strength. But you can't have, you can't take it and run away with it. You have to depend on me. Because it's my strength in you. It's not your strength. It's my strength. So you can't have it. You can borrow it as much as you want. Come get it. But remember, it's my strength. My strength. He is their help and their shield. Is our help and our shield. Our Heavenly Father cares about us being stressed out. He wants to be our shield. You rely on a shield for protection. Dads have to make tough calls sometimes. Amen?
Amen.
I didn't hear too many amens on that.
Amen.
Dads have to make tough calls sometimes. Sometimes with nothing more than your own judgment to guide you. You can get advice. You can pray. You can read the scriptures. And there are times when you don't get any mail with the answer in it. No email. No text messages. No snail mail. All you have is your best judgment. No nothing that says, do this. No hand pointing from the sky. Just the best that you got. But you got to make the call. You have to make the call. Because to not make the call is to make the call. You have no choice. You got to make the call. And sometimes the feedback isn't very encouraging. It's not very affirming. That's why the Lord needs to be our shield, our help, and our shield. Because sometimes the blowback is not pleasant. David made a call, and it resulted in David's two wives and the wives of his soldiers being kidnapped by the enemy. And to make matters worse, the feedback was not only not affirming, they were talking about stoning him.
Amen. Amen.
That didn't work, David. That was a bad call. Mm-hmm. And they were plotting and thinking about how to stone their leader. They were so distressed. And 1 Samuel 36 records David's response. It says, David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters being kidnapped. But David found strength in the Lord, his God. The Lord became is with us, and with us is all we need. And I thank the Lord that with us is forever. With us is forever. It's promise and it's guarantee. Because he is our help, when we're concerned about the spiritual place of a loved one, when we're concerned about where they are spiritually, we don't have to be the one God uses to influence him.
All right, come on, man.
Or her.
Yeah.
To a closer walk with him.
That's true.
We don't have to be the one. God has quite a selection of influencers to choose from. He's got cute people. Concerned about our sons, he's got cute Christians. Concerned about our daughters, he's got cute brothers that are in the Lord. And sometimes it's the flesh that attracts you to the Spirit, and the Spirit follows. Sometimes the Lord can use the flesh to get to the Spirit. So you may think our kids may think that that girl, she's just cute and she's a warrior. They may think that that guy, he's just a cute guy, but that guy, he's a fighter, a veteran, a tough in the Lord brother.
Amen.
Focus.
Wow.
He knows what he is about.
All right, come on.
A sister who knows what she's about, and she knows it ain't about being cute.
Yeah.
And he knows it ain't about being all that. Lord has a wide variety of influencers out there. Like I said, he's got the cute one. He's got tough people, streetwise people, polished people, rough people. If success is your thing, he's got successful people out there who can let them know it ain't about material success. It ain't about monetary. I got all this, but I got something much deeper. This is not what it's all about for me. See, riding his nice car, or her riding her nice car, and it looks like they just got it all together, but you know there's something else going on with you. What is that? God's got folks out there like that. See, that's why we don't have to worry, because see, if we had to be all that, we'd be exhausted. So thank you, Lord. He's got a whole assortment of earthen vessels filled with power and influence. Christian dad's greatest asset is the living God within us. He is our help. He is our help. He is our shield all the time, in every place, and every condition.